Welcome to the Association of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcasts. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guest today is Felipe Sims from Tecnológico de Monterrey Egade Business School, Mexico. He recently published an article entitled "The Visceral Imagination: Exploring the Visceral Aspect of Entrepreneurial Imaginations Through Roberto Bolaños, The Savage Detectives." It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Felipe, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Vincent.
Can you tell us, what is the origin of your paper? Why have you decided to address this particular topic? And what is the question you aim to answer?
Well, what I try to do here is, I come from a background, like a strange background, really, because I have studied business economics, then I did a master's degree in sociology and a PhD in philosophy of science, mostly, if I can say. But I was always interested in entrepreneurship. I have a lot of fieldwork experience in entrepreneurship. I have been an entrepreneur myself. And when I started to explore the entrepreneurship literature, I see that the perspective of the entrepreneurial imagination was too much cognitive, was too much farther away from the experience of real entrepreneurs. And there I started to wonder myself why the literature is addressing the entrepreneurial imagination just as a cognitive phenomenon. And then when I started to go a little more in, I saw that there were different perspectives. There was a scientific perspective, let's say, that the entrepreneur is learning all the time through data. We have performative perspectives that say, okay, the entrepreneur is there to learn, to create value. But I say, you know, my experience when I was an entrepreneur was not like that. And the entrepreneurs that I have explored and studied were not mostly like that. So I saw that there was something missing. And then I started to explore an analogy of the entrepreneur. So let's say we always think of the entrepreneur as an opportunist or as a gambler. Let's say these are the most popular analogies of an entrepreneur. And I say, no, these analogies maybe are not the ones that may us explore more nearly what the entrepreneur is all about, and especially entrepreneurial imagination. And there's where I say, okay, we have to explore the entrepreneur as a poet. What if we think of the entrepreneur as a poet? And in this way, we can explore different facets of the entrepreneur that we have not seen. Okay, that's the main, if I can say, the methodological approach of the paper. Okay, so if we think of the entrepreneur as a poet, what is the entrepreneurial imagination all about?
What are the main contributions of the old paper?
Well, the main contributions of my paper is that at the end, the creativity of the entrepreneur and the entrepreneurial imagination of the entrepreneur is more visceral than cognitive or performative or even spiritual, scientific. That means that the entrepreneur wants to bring a value to the world, you know, much more as a poet, you know, that he has little probabilities of succeeding. And at the same time, this energy, this creative energy, doesn't belong to him or her. It's outside him or her. And this is where I say in the paper, okay, when I put this novel of Roberto Bolaño, that he's a Mexican and Chilean writer, that he tells the story of these visceral poets, okay, that go all around the world during the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I use them as an analogy to say, okay, then the first contribution is that we have to think of the entrepreneur, especially in entrepreneurial imagination, more as a visceral aspect of entrepreneurship. And the visceral aspect is expressed through a connection to the flesh that is there outside of, and it's in the interconnection of relations. So the entrepreneur is not there learning just or performing or just a spiritual aspect of the imagination connecting, but more like connecting with a flesh that is within us in the relations that we have. That's why I talk a lot about in the paper, this visceral perspective talks about a sensuality of the entrepreneur, not the sensorial aspect of the, because if we talk about the sensorial aspect of entrepreneurial imagination, we're talking more again just about the mind, just about the sense. This is something more. If the entrepreneurial imagination is in the relations that entrepreneurs endeavor, we have to talk about the sensuality of the entrepreneurial imagination. And I always try to differentiate sensuality from sexuality. This is something, they have similarities, of course, but we are sensual beings. So, and I think this first contribution is really important because now we're saying, okay, the machines are better than us analytically, okay? They are able of signifying analytical patterns even better than us. Well, what is about the human beings, okay? So what is the role of entrepreneurs? And I think this visceral aspect, as we talks about the flesh, it talks about sensuality, it talks about maybe aspects that we as human beings, especially entrepreneurs, can be competitive in this AI era that we're starting to, that is starting to emerge. And the second contribution is that entrepreneurs can access to poetic energy, and this is what makes them creative. It's not that the energy, the creative energy is in them. They can access creative energy fleetingly by experiencing sensual relationships that let them access this energy for fleeting moments. And then this allows them to create new worlds. And what is important, this, and this is something that I talk a little bit more in the final words, is that this allows us to escape from the opportunist and gambler analogy. That for me is very important to leave these analogies behind, because I think that people that are against, let's say, entrepreneurs or capitalists in general, I think have a point when they say, are entrepreneurs really adding value? So I think because if the entrepreneurs are opportunists, are just opportunists or just gamblers, I think that they are not clearly adding value, because there is this value that is starting to emerge and they grasp this opportunity and they capture this value. And I say, no, but if we think of entrepreneurs as poets, that entrepreneurs want to bring value to the world that they are imagining and they are poetically imagining through their sensual relations, there we can talk about that entrepreneurs are really adding value to the world. And there's why in the paper I end with this perspective of value and beauty, okay? So entrepreneurs would add value to the world only if they explore the creation of beauty. And there I use different examples. I talk a little bit about conventional entrepreneurs, even tech entrepreneurs like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, how they really are, they were not that clear what they were creating at the beginning. So really this cognitive aspect or this predictive aspect of what entrepreneurs are doing, entrepreneurs is never that clear, I think, what he's doing or what she's doing. They don't know. And I think that's the beauty of it, of exploring that darkness poetically. And also I talk a little bit about other examples that are more artistic also, like Rick Rubin, that is a music producer that is really, I think, an entrepreneur that teaches us a lot about value and beauty.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
Oh, I think the method was where really, I really thank the editors. I think that the first version of the paper and the last version of the paper was really different. I think they really believed in the project that I was endeavoring. But this is a sole author paper, so I think needed a good editorial support. I think the main methodological challenge was that I'm trying to unite aesthetics with scientific language. This is a long discussion, okay? Science is a method that is focused on the search of objective truth, okay? And the idea to be comparable, you know, from different contexts. On the contrary, aesthetics is based on the subjective experience. And that's why usually the search of beauty is subjective. That's why we always say that beauty is subjective and science would be objective. And what I realized in the process of the project is that when I use a novel, that is Roberto Bolaño's novel that tells the history of visceral poets, to explore this analogy of the entrepreneur as a poet, what I realized there is that a novel is aesthetic data. And this is something has been like timidly approached in previous papers. There is a paper of Taylor and Hansen, 2005. There is a beautiful paper that explores, okay, there is aesthetic data and there is like more scientific data. Aesthetic data is where subjectiveness is so important and feelings are so important that we cannot explore it just scientific, because you are keeping the feeling and the aesthetic aspect of that data out. So I needed to create an to integrate. Therefore, was I'm using a novel that is aesthetic data. When you read a novel or when you see a movie, you are feeling a lot. It's like when you are exploring, when you are part of the story, you're feeling. So I cannot put that out. So I needed to keep the aesthetic arc of the novel, how the author is telling the story to make the reader of the paper feel, okay, the visceral aspect of the imagination of the poets, and then at the same time use an analytical table to explore the novel. So as you see, I use on the one hand, I keep the aesthetic aspect of the novel, how the author is making us feel through that story. And on the other hand, I try to use a more analytical frame to analyze it. And I put in the final words that I think we need to explore more these experiments. And I think I insist, this is not something maybe that is core in the paper, but the idea of the what is now differentiating entrepreneurs and human beings in general from machines is the aesthetic, it's the subjective, okay? So I think we need to explore more, especially with entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs work with things that don't exist yet. And they are exploring this process of us, you know, along space and time in different ways, I think, than employees for sure. So I think this analogy of the entrepreneurs and artists really like opens a lot of things that I think it has been explored a little bit lately, but I think we need to explore it more in order to see what is really an entrepreneur in this emerging, complex, dystopic world.
During your research journey, what was your biggest surprise or maybe the most counterintuitive result?
Well, I think was first one thing that the editors pushed me is that the visceral is different than the embodied. Well, like there's a perspective of the entrepreneurial imagination that is embodied, and the editors told me, hey, you have something here. You have to challenge that this embodied aspect because it's too simplistic in a way. And they say to me, go bold and say the visceral is different because the visceral is about connecting with the external force of the creative universe. In a way, the universe is already creative. So what I'm saying is that, and I talk about the flesh, this comes from a phenomenology of Merleau-Ponty that he says, okay, the universe is like a flesh. Okay, something that is incarnated. And I think that for me, it was a big surprise, you know, when the editors told me, hey, go bold here. Go bold and challenge the embodied perspective of the entrepreneurial imagination because we think that the visceral perspective can show a completely new lens, new theoretical lens that you're opening here. So I'm really thankful for that. And I think the second one was, be more, I don't like the word rigorous, but to explore more rigorously the analogy of the entrepreneur as a poet. I think at the beginning, in the first versions of the poet, of the paper, the editors told me, hey, are you talking about poetry or are you talking about entrepreneurship? And I think it was super good to like try to explore it more rigorously, to try to see which aspects of poetry are useful for exploring the entrepreneurship phenomenon. That I think are huge, are plenty, but I think before I explored the paper, I think it wasn't that clear what I was talking about. And I think at the end it was clear that for me it was more about the idea of generating value, as I said, more genuinely. I think the idea of the opportunist and the gambler makes a lot of bad reputation to entrepreneurship in general. And I think, as I insist, they have a point. If the entrepreneur is just an opportunist, they are taking value that don't belong to them, that they are not bringing to the world. And I think there we have a lot to learn to artists because I love a sentence of Paul Green that I put in the paper that is, it's not that the artists are against market, not at all. But for the artist, the audience comes last. And when I heard that and I read that from Rick Ruin, for me was incredible because I think we teach entrepreneurs to listen to the market first. And I think this is a huge problem in the generation of value because if an entrepreneur has to hear himself first, search the beauty himself first, let's say when a painter or when a musician is trying to create his his music, he's not listening to the market first. He's listening to his feelings first. And then he goes to the market when the work is done. And as Rick Rubin says, well, then that does not depend on you. That something is successful in the market, most of the time for artists, does not depend on them. It depends on the moment. It depends on energies. And I think for entrepreneurs, it's as well, you know. It's not that different. They're creating something. And it doesn't matter. Sometimes the product is perfect. Sometimes the moment was right.
What are the main implications of your work for entrepreneurs, managers, practitioners, researchers, policymakers, practitioners in general?
Well, first, this is something also the editor pushed me a lot, to use analogies in the two contributions. Okay, examples. Put examples of which entrepreneurs, let's say, which entrepreneurs are talking about this, are illustrating your point in a way. For example, in the first contribution, that is the visceral perspective on entrepreneurial imagination, I talk a little bit about more conventional entrepreneurs. For example, I talk about Elon Musk. Elon Musk talks about, he has a sentence that I like a lot, that he says that business professors don't know a thing about entrepreneurship. And I think that I don't agree completely. Obviously, I'm a professor, so well, I couldn't agree completely with that. But I think he has a point. In terms that if we have a completely theoretical and scientific approach to entrepreneurship, this is worthless for entrepreneurs. I think that is his point. He's trying to be a little bit more polemic, but I think this is what he's talking about. And then also Jeff Bezos described also a visceral pull towards entrepreneurial imagination because he says, he abandons an stable employment to something that he didn't know how successful he was going to be. Like at first he wanted to sell books, you know. And then I also talk a little bit about Steve Jobs when he said a sentence that I love. He says that points can be connected backwards, not forward. And this idea is super deep because you only can make sense of what you already done. So every time you're acting and creating something, you don't know what you're doing. And I think that's why I think this idea of sense making, I don't know if I like it that much, because what really the entrepreneur is not sense making. He's feeling something. He's feeling a value. And I put these examples, you know, to say, hey, you entrepreneurs, here you have examples that you can use and say, hey, you can be visceral too, you know. And also, and in the second contribution that is more focused on this access to poetic energy to develop a better entrepreneurial imagination, I use there more to illustrate this. I use the examples, for example, as Rick Rubin, as I told you. And also I use the example of other entrepreneurs that are more focused on sustainability. Let's say I talk about a Patagonia founder and also a Mexican clothing giant that is Carla Fernandez, that they talk about trying to bring value to a world that does not exist yet. Let's say Carla Fernandez talk a lot about creating designs of clothing that are focused on integrating indigenous designs, Mexican indigenous designs, that she co-create this with indigenous communities, but sell this in Paris. And I say they show this visceral connection, okay, and to creating this poetic energy by relating with people that are completely different like them. Let's say Carla Fernandez is a Mexican modern woman, but she relates with indigenous communities that are completely different from them. And by essentially relating with this context, she's capable of creating something new. So she's not looking for creativity within her. She's searching creativity outside of her. And I think this is something that with this example, I try to say, okay, these are implications to practitioners, but not only for how you should behave. Like in a way, I'm saying what I felt when I was writing this is more, I was validating academia in terms of, okay, we entrepreneurs, we understand better the experience of entrepreneurs. This is what I think I was trying to do more, you know, if you tell me, more than implications, say, we academics, we understand your experience. There's so many times, Vincent, I have heard entrepreneurs, you academics don't know a thing about the experience of entrepreneurship. And I think with this article, I tried to say, okay, we academics, we can connect with you. We can connect with experience. We can offer you theories and methods that rely more with your experience that is far away from scientific, far away from performative, far away from cognitive. You're trying to bring a body to a world that you sense, that you explore through your relations, and that you're open to failure, but that you want to risk everything to bring this body to a world.
Thanks a lot, Felipe, for presenting your paper entitled The Visceral Imagination, Exploring the Visceral Aspect of the Entrepreneurial Imagination through Roberto Bolaños, The Savage Detectives. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-ed.com and on the main podcast platforms.